back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. And our guest this hour is Dr. John Coleman. His website is Coleman300.com. Dr. Coleman is an author. He's authored a lot of books. He's a constitutional scholar. He's done research at the British Museum. He's a historian, a lecturer. He specializes in the Middle East. He has written numerous articles, as well as books. And one of his favorite ones of mine is Committee of 300, which actually has been published in 8 foreign languages. And you can look at the list of his books at his website, which is Coleman300.com. Just go to the store. Just click on books up at the top. Go to the store. And one of the books that he wrote, which is very interesting to me, is Nuclear Power, Anathema to the New World Order. And since we've had issues regarding nuclear power plants recently, specifically at Fukushima, I think I would like to have you focus on this, Dr. Coleman, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
It's very nice to have you on the program. Now, you were in the intelligence.
I don't want to talk about that aspect, if you don't mind.
Okay. So you're out of that. And so what was your favorite book to write?
I think that Committee in 300 has absorbed a lot of my time and attention. I began it many years ago and completed the work in 2008, and actually before that there were several editions. But the new book is 400 pages long, very substantial book, and it deals with a subject that's very much in the news today, how the New World Order will be established, and whether this is just a figment or whether it's an actual thing that is taking place as we are continuing in our daily lives.
Right. Now, you started this book. I mean, I have one version of it that goes all the way back to 1991.
Right.
And so this is basically a project that you've taken over the last two decades.
That's right. But as I said, the fourth edition, which is the main one, that came out just a few years ago, and it's been very successful. It's translated into Japanese and Russian, among other languages, and it's pretty well known. If you go to the internet, you'll find it up in about 90 different places. If you just tap in the book Committee of 300, you'll find it in more than 90 places, I believe. Somebody wrote and told me that the other day. I haven't checked it out myself. I don't have time for that, but I believe them because they're pretty thorough researchers.
Right. And you also wrote the book about the nuclear issue.
Yes.
Which I think is very interesting because, and that book is called Nuclear Power, Anathema to the New World Order, and that is available on your website. Now, people can order your books on your website as well as other places like Amazon and those kinds of places.
Well, Amazon, they're going to get, I suppose, used copies and new copies there. And they said there's no monographs sold at the papers, white papers, I call them, sold at by Amazon.
Uh-huh.
So the best thing is to order them from us and be sure you get a new copy.
Okay. All righty.
A lot of people are putting the old editions on and trying to sell them as collector's item. And they're getting a huge price, so you don't end up doing that.
Okay. All righty. Dr. Coleman, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Are Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Dr. John Coleman. That's C-O-L-E-M-A-N. His website is Coleman300.com, and you can see a list of his books there. And we were talking about the Committee of 300. And could you tell us a little bit about the Committee of 300?
This Committee of 300 was established in 1699 by a charter given by the Royal Assent, and enabled this committee to go out, and they were called the East India Company in those days. They had permission, a charter from the King of England, to actually wage war against any country. And can you imagine a state in the United States getting power and permission to go and fight Mexico or some other state on the other side of the world? It's just, it's quite a thing to stop and think about it. But that's how they were constituted. And then, of course, they evolved into the British, from the British East India Company to the East India Company. And their main function was to go over to China and to try and persuade the Chinese to become opium addicts. Now, Chinese resisted that very strongly, and they got it. Permission from Parliament, the British actually had an act of Parliament whereby they gave this committee permission to wage war against China. And they did that. There were three wars against the Chinese, but In the meantime, they were successful, and the opium den spread all across China, and virtually they turned the nation into one vast opium den. And so, of course, this enormous trade had its beginnings in that section of the world, and was from there it spread everywhere, literally. And, of course, it was mainly a British endeavor, but they did give their American cousins a slice of the pie, the Andersite Perkins and the rest of those people, so-called Eastern liberal establishment. They also became intensely, immensely powerful and rich through the illicit products of the opium trade.
Right. Now, the British East India Company was originally, it was an early day corporation, correct? And it was owned by goldsmiths and moneylenders?
That's right, it was.
Interesting, I mean, that they could wage war and that they could use the military power of Britain,
yes,
as you said, to go into China, and they were, actually, they were trading tea for opium, or what was the deal?
They started out as a tea company to begin with. The British have always been very fond of tea, but it was, in the earlier days, more than today. Coffee's largely come in now in modern times. Supplanted that, but it was tea that they were after. But then when they saw that tea was not profitable and they were able to switch to opium, that's when they got their charter to be able to go and wage war against the Chinese and force them, literally force them, become a nation of opium addicts.
Right. And basically they were using their silver to purchase this opium. And
that's
so
right.
So that was kind of a big shift of silver out of China.
That's right. They commandeered all of the silver. They went in and took the natural resources of the silver mines. And it's a wonder that the nation of China is friendly with the Western world today when they look back at that dark period of their history. And you can rather imagine that must have taken a good deal of statesmanship for them to forget all those atrocities waged against them and to befriend the Western powers.
Right. I guess all those guns and dead bodies have something to do with that.
Oh, I'm sure that was the case.
Right. And it's now you talked about three wars. I'm familiar with the First Opium War and the Second Opium War in the middle 1842, 1852, somewhere around there.
Yes.
And was there another one?
There was one, I think, 2 years after that. And that was the final one. After that, they gave up because they saw they weren't going to be able to defeat the Chinese and force them to become... They used every weapon in their power. They had established a religious order called the London Missionary Society. And they sent missionaries all through China teaching these people how to become addicts, opium addicts. How to smoke the stuff. I mean, they didn't have this knowledge and this information to begin with. It was given to them. It was taught to them like you teach children at school. They learn from the beginning the ABCs of what their parents are doing and what they learn by example. And these people, the Chinese, learned by example. And the London Missionary Society, they actually got their missionaries, so-called missionaries, to smoke the stuff and show the Chinese what to do.
Interesting. And, of course, I know that this country also had their missionary societies that sent missionaries to China. They also sent in medical missionaries to try to supplant the natural medical industry over there. It wasn't actually an industry, but it was certainly traditional medicine there. And of course, Rockefeller wanted to get... to get all those people. I mean, there were millions of people over there, millions of patients and millions of customers. So they wanted to shift their practice of medicine to the allopathic method, right?
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
And then following the Opium Wars, they also extracted what the Chinese call the unequal treaties.
Exactly.
Also,
a treaty is supposed to be beneficial to both parties, But this treaty was beneficial only to the British. It was not any benefit to the Chinese people at all.
Right. And they also got Hong Kong as a British colony, a royal colony, which was not a good thing.
No.
It was for the British, of course.
Oh, yes.
And then a lot of the companies, even the companies from this country, would go in and have branch offices over there and trade opium. And
that's what they did. That's how they got around it. And, of course, we know that a lot of people say, well, this couldn't have been true. These people were Christians, but they were not what I would call true believers. They were in name only.
Right. Now, you mentioned the Perkins family.
That's right, and the so-called liberal Eastern liberal establishment people, Handaside Perkins, the people who spoke only to themselves and to God, to each other and to God, as they said.
Right, and they were also into slave trading, correct, the Perkins?
Yes.
They had slaves, they brought in slaves from Santo Domingo, and they were not very nice people. And yet, didn't they establish Brown University?
Yes, they did. They established many, many, many societies that were supposed to benefit the people, but they didn't really benefit anybody except the Perkins family.
Right. Now,
it's very involved in a story, and you have to follow it from the beginning to the very end of the book. Of course, the book deals, the fourth edition deals with more modern times, and I've often said that we have suffered very severe casualties in the First and Second World War. And people have said to me, oh, well, people have died from uranium. More people have died from uranium poisoning than that. They point to Three Mile Island. Now, Three Mile Island was a tested nuclear power that was producing excellent power until somebody decided to close the venting valve, which would release the steam into the containment dome. And, of course, in spite of the closed valve, it still vented into the steam. But, of course, some of it blew out through the top, and that caused a broadcast to people warning people to flee, and there were huge traffic jams on the road. It was rather like the old H.G. Wells' The War of Worlds, and the story of how these Martians had landed. And, of course, it was something like that. And people were fleeing. But nobody was killed in Three Mile Island. Not a single person. And nuclear power is so safe, you can go and lounge up against the factory wall, and you never get anything wrong with you.
Interesting. Now, what are your views on Fukushima?
I'm sorry, on what?
On Fukushima, what are your views on that? I mean, we've all been told that radiation is coming across and affecting people in California. Apparently, there have been 14,000 infant deaths as a result of the radiation emanating from Fukushima.
Oh, you're talking about the Japanese power station?
Yes.
Well, that was used like the one in Chernobyl. It was used to produce something other than what was intended for. The one in Chernobyl was a good example because that blew up, and there they were trying to make nuclear fusion out of a power station that was designed exactly as that, a power station. And, of course, the one in Japan was the same thing. It was designed to be a power station, but they introduced nuclear rods, and the water failed, and they couldn't cool the towers, and so, of course, they blew up, and the whole thing literally exploded. And that, of course, was a very dangerous situation. But that, again, was the misuse of the product. If they'd followed the rules, nothing would have happened there. And
alrighty,
that's still dangerous because we have this mass, this enormous mass of rubble out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, slowly making its way towards the coast, the west coast of the United States, along the shores of Oregon. It'll make land in
Dr. Coleman, we do have to go to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Brack slings are now available for civilian uses. Order yours in camo, black, and any custom unit colors. Call 877-MY-BUNKER, the Battle Rifle All-Purpose Carrier. Put your rifle safely where it needs to be, at the ready, for a moment's notice. Your rifle is not leaning on a tree or in your trunk. It's with you when you need it. Rifles or shotguns will fit comfortably and safely in backpack mode, or transition simply to a tactical single-point harness in seconds. Watch a demonstration of the BRAC at 877mybunker.com. The BRAC is American-made with a lifetime guarantee. BRAC fits your rifles or shotguns, 22s, M16s, your M60, even the Barrett 50 Cal, and more. Call 877-MY-BUNKER or go online to 877mybunker.com to see the video. Save 20% now by calling 877-MY-BUNKER. That's 877-692-8653 and mention you heard this ad on RBN. Save 20%. Just mention you heard it on RBN.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Our guest this hour is Dr. John Coleman. His website is Coleman300.com. And Dr. Coleman, you were talking about all this refuse.
Yes. I just want to go back to the actual power station itself. The problem was that after that tsunami, the water of Japan was totally polluted, and it was full of black sludge, and they couldn't get water to cool the rods. Eventually, the United States came in to help them and sent a portable barge over there and they could spray clean water from that. But in the meantime, the whole power station exploded and this mass of debris is floating out in the Pacific and it's making its way slowly towards the coast of Oregon and Washington State. And there's no actual time when it might reach, but when it does, it's going to litter the coastline from Oregon north up to beyond Seattle. So that's not a very pleasing prospect. And it's going to be a big, big problem when it does make the shore.
Now you said that they were using it improperly, not using it for the purpose that it was built for. Could you talk about that?
Yes, particularly they were supposed to be making it to produce nuclear power. And then, as I said, it was improperly used because they could not get the clean water, and they're trying to put it out with this filthy muck from the tsunami, and of course it didn't cool the rods, and it wasn't working, and the rods became exposed and began to burn up and eventually explode it altogether. And then they had to call in the United States, but by that time the damage was done. And the United States put the clean water at their disposal, but this huge mass is floating in the ocean and will make landfall. When it will do that, nobody really knows.
Do you think it was sabotaged?
No, I don't think it was sabotaged. I'm firmly opposed to that idea. It's not sabotage. And the tsunami is supposed to be a natural cause thing. And certainly that couldn't be ruled as sabotage unless anybody can prove that it was created by some electromagnetic energy bolt that struck the floor of the ocean or something like that. But that's not a subject I want to get into today. It might take a few hours just to explain the one thing.
Sure. Well, let's go back to the Committee of 300. Where does the number 300 come from?
Because in the old days, one of the most knowledgeable people in the mid-30s was a general by the name of Walter Rathenau, and he was not just anybody. He was the managing director of Siemens, the largest power-making company and the largest producer of electrical instruments. And Rathenau said there are 300 people that rule Europe, and they're known only to each other, and they only they get together periodically and have their meetings in order to issue instructions for the rest of the world to follow. And Rathenau was certainly made to pay for his sins. He was coming out of his house one morning, and he was shot down by assassins. So that's
exactly
what happened to him.
Now he gained his board of director seats from his father. I can't remember his father's name right off the top of my head, but he kind of just fell into that position. And he sat on what, like 50 different, he had 50 different directorships or something like that?
Yes.
And then he was also part of the government after World War II in Germany.
That's right. It's part of the
Weimar
German
Republic.
Government. Yes, the Weimar Republic.
And so he's the one that said that there were 300.
Yes.
And is that where the number came from?
That's where the number came from. They also like there's an inner core of members that give instructions, and they like to refer to them as Olympians, after the Greek mythology of the gods of the Olympians.
Have you determined who these 300 people are?
Yes, they're all in my book. I don't just say that they or them. I name them individually. It's the only book in the world that's ever done that. I don't say that in a boastful manner at all. It's just the fact I put in the research and the necessary background search to find all these things. As
right.
You mentioned, I studied in the British Museum in London for 5 years, and that took a lot of digging and a lot of work.
How did you get permission to do that?
Well, that's a long story, too. My father was a military man, and there's an inner sanctum. In the British Museum, you have the outer museum where the public can go, and they can browse and see everything under the sun there. But in the inner sanctum, there's only the members of families who have a history of military officers in their lineage. And my dad was a colonel in the Irish Guards, so I had not very much trouble in getting a pass to get in there. Without that pass, you would hopelessly steer in the wrong direction. You'd be simply told to go to the public sector of the museum. And that's where I found most of my stuff.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned these 300. These people also collaborate in other arenas, such as the Club of Rome and those kinds of entities.
Well, you can think about them as cogs in the wheel of machinery. You can think of them as being the executive arms of the Committee of 300.
Alrighty.
Carrying out the daily orders, carrying out the position papers that these people have put out.
All righty. We do have to go to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Dr. John Coleman.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com. Then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
This hour is Dr. John Coleman. His website is Coleman300.com. Now, what were some of the most interesting documents that you viewed in the British Museum?
I would add to your announcement about my website and the phone number to call if you want to order anything today. Anybody who wants to order, or any of your listeners who would like to order today, receive a 10% discount when they mention your program.
But that's nice. Thank you. And they can call 800-942-0821. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All righty. Now back to the British Museum. You were allowed to go there because of your father's position. And what were some of the most interesting documents that you discovered there?
Well, the most interesting documents that I discovered were those relating to the activities of the Committee of 300, where they changed their focus on what they did and what they did in the early days and what they did in the later part of their commission, I would call it.
Well, what's the driving force behind this committee? Who are the people behind this committee?
That's a very difficult question, which I'm really not able to answer. Although I've written the book, I don't really know who commissioned the committee, except that it evolved from a beginning which had nothing to do with the later workings of the committee. It's not like somebody went out and said, well, I'm going to tap you to join the some other secret order, and then you can walk into it. It's very much something that evolved, and it was not intended to be what it was eventually. So it's hard to say who did that or who was responsible for that.
Now, is the royal family involved in this?
Yes, but they only work through their servants. They keep a very long distance between them and the actual people doing the work. For instance, they use the Royal Institute of International Affairs to convey their wishes to the government of the United States, for example. And okay. Harold Pratt House is where these people live. And that's where you'll find the a lot of people attach a lot of importance to them. And some people called me up and said, oh, your books, it's like the Council on Foreign Relations. No, not at all. The Council on Foreign Relations is a cog in the wheel. It's one of the structures, if you like. It's like a company. You have the CEO, and then you have the top-level directors, and then the managers, till eventually it works right down to the people on the factory floor. And so that's how the orders are structured and handed out. So you can say that the Club of Rome and the Bilderbergers and so on and so forth, Council on Foreign Relations, they are different levels of the Committee of 300.
Okay.
Different levels of the structure.
Now, you've also mentioned Freemasonry in your book.
Yes, but only insofar as that it's, I don't believe in talking too much about Freemasonry because thousands of books have been written. You have books and tomes, hundreds and hundreds of pages thick. That's not what my intention was at all. My intention was just to merely mention the various stages of the Freemasonry. And that's it, and that you'll find that in my book.
Okay. And the Club of Rome, when was that established? 1968? Does it have anything
yes.
to do with the Trilateral Commission, or are these all kind of just different groups that get together? And
no, the Club of Rome was founded by the former owner of Fiat Motor Company, Agnelli of Italy. It has nothing to do with the Rome of the Vatican. A lot of people think that's something to do with the Catholic Church. It's not. It was run by the Agnelli family, the owners of the car company, Fiat Car Company.
Okay. And what is their purpose? Is that just something that that works with within
no,
this,
their purpose
as a cog
was clear.
Of
they were
in
given,
the wheel?
They were given orders of what they were supposed to do with Italy, with the people of Italy, and what they were, how they were going to make sure that the orders of the Committee of 300 were conveyed to the proper authorities there.
Okay, now does this Committee 300 rule all the politicians in each of the countries? Is that...
Pretty much so, yes.
Okay. Can you... For instance, who is ruling the president now? Is there a particular person, or do they have handlers?
No, that's not the people behind the president is Rockefeller. The money powers, it's Rockefeller and the great man with all the money. I just his name just slips me for the moment.
Rothschild?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not Rothschild. No.
Soros?
Soros, that's the one I was looking for, yeah.
Okay.
All the people with the money, they are the ones who funded him in the beginning and helped him. And, of course, you know very well that it takes an awful lot of money to be elected in the United States, and that's what made possible by the... And I've got the book, which is available, too. You can buy that today if you like. And that gives you the complete structure of the Obama presidency rise to power.
Okay,
and who
what's
the people were with the money behind him.
What's the name of that book?
It's called Obama's America.
Okay. And you also have another book called Abortion, Genocide in America. Who actually got the abortion thing going?
I didn't get that.
Oh, you also have a book, Abortion, Genocide in America. And what occurred before Roe v. Wade that got abortion started in America that led to the death of 65
million? Well, the people were talking about abortion was a legal right. It's not a legal right at all. It never has been a legal right or a woman's liberation. It was actually taken up by the people who wanted to diminish the population, the white population of America, Bertrand Russell and his gang. And it became a cause célèbre, if you wish, of Madame Galante, the Russian commissar who came to this country. And she preached free sex and then followed by abortion to take care of the consequences of your
How about Sanger, Margaret Sanger?
Yes. Okay. So those are the people who are behind abortion. Then, of course, they try to get it legalized. And it was, in a sense, as far as we are concerned, as far as the mortal people of this earth, that they made it legal, abortion. But in God's eyes, it never will be admitted. It's called the murder of the unborn. I mean, it's just one of the most hideous things that's ever overtaken America. And if you think of all of the unborn babies that are murdered in this way, and I use the word deliberately because they can call it a fetus, they can call it anything they like, but this is a living, breathing little child and ripped from the mother's womb and murdered cruelly. The methods of death are just too appalling for words. And right. Some people like to gloss that over and think, well, it's nothing really so bad. It is very, very bad. It's a crime against God and a crime against the children of America.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what role do you see AIPAC or Israel playing in the control of America?
Well, I don't know who the AIPAC people are, so I really can't speak about that.
Okay. And we brought up Rothschild. Do you think he has any kind of control in the world today? Is he behind the Committee of 300?
They've always exercised control. You know, right from the days of the Battle of Waterloo. They set up Napoleon. He was a corporal in the French army. He didn't even have enough money to buy his uniforms. And then they got him married into one of the high officers, ranking army officers there. And his wife was Josephine Bonaparte, hence the name Napoleon Bonaparte. And, of course, he was tricked out of victory because one of the French generals didn't arrive at the small town in Belgium that's called Waterloo to hold the flank. So the British merely outflanked the lines of Napoleon, the French troops, and got round the back of them and slaughtered them wholesale. And Napoleon himself barely had time to flee. That in the morning, one of the Rothschild's emissaries had poisoned his breakfast with some type of potion that brought on a tremendous migraine headache. So it wasn't lack of generalship that cost him Waterloo. It was sheer treachery. And then the Rothschild emissary went back and had previously hired all of the ships going back to England so that nobody could outbid them for their contracts for supply of cloth.
It's a story right, because Nathan was already in London at that time. He went over there in 1808, and
Nathan Rothschild was in England. He was the head of the Rothschilds in England.
Right. Now, don't they control the City of London?
The City of London is a separate entity. It's a financial center.
Right. Don't they control it?
Yes, they do. They control every means of finance. And as I told one man the other day, they also went out to South Africa to fight the Boer War. And Rudyard Kipling said, well, we went out thinking that we'd be back in 2 weeks' time, having taught the farmers there, the Boers, Dutch word for farmer, and said they taught us no end of a lesson. The British were completely decimated. And they went, of course, to try and grab the gold and the diamonds of South Africa, the richest gold fields in the world. So,
well, I mean, they did control De Beers and
that's right. As I said in my book, they did get control by sending Cecil John Rhodes out there and financing him. And he undermined the people of the Transvaal and Paul Kruger, the president of the Transvaal Republic, went over to see the Queen and said, look, we want to, the excuse was that the blacks weren't getting the vote. Well, not the blacks. They didn't care about the blacks. What they called the Uitlanders, the foreigners, the British mainly. So, and of course, Paul Kruger went to see Queen Victoria, but she wouldn't even talk to him. And he came back and they tried to make an agreement through Lord Alfred Milner that they would give the foreigners a limited vote. But sure. They wouldn't accept that because, as Paul Kruger said, if we give them full suffrage, they're going to outvote us and our republic should be lost. We'd be buried.
Sure. What do you think about 9/11?
Well, I believe 9/11 was a contrived situation.
Who do you think contrived it?
Well, it's there again. I could speak about this for the next 3 or 4 hours without getting to the full extent of it. So I'd rather leave that for another interview if you care to have me back on your show.
All righty. And, of course, it had serious repercussions. It was good for Israel and bad for the United States because we got the Patriot Act out of it, which is a tyrannical act that has been imposed upon this whole country.
The Patriot Act is 100% unconstitutional. The United States Constitution is an immutable document written for the ages, to last through the ages, and nothing can be added or subtracted from it, save and except by a mandate put before the people of the United States. In other words, you can't just go willy-nilly to the Congress and say, I want to go and attack somebody and I want a declaration of war. They can't do that because there's no sense of declaration of war possible. The Constitution says it's a five-step complicated process deliberately to stop people dashing the United States into war. And it's
a five-step. They've been killing people for a long time without any declaration of war. The last time we had a declaration of war was in World War II.
We had a declaration of war in the Gulf of Tonkin with President Johnson.
Well, that was based on a false flag operation.
That was a false flag. There were no torpedo boats from North Korea. These were phantom tube torpedo boats.
Well, so,
of course, it has no standing, but in the eyes of the government, it still has standing, but it's 100% unconstitutional, and it's something that is never envisaged for this country.
Right. And of course, President Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson, lied about that. He also lied about the USS Liberty. What are your views on that?
Well, we know that many, many people were killed. Many people, 22 people, I think, U.S. sailors were killed. And when the captain of the USS Liberty wanted to irradiate for help, and when I think one of the admirals sent a destroyer and an aircraft carrier to go and help them, and they were going to attack the Israeli torpedo boats and fend off the bombing that was going on, and the captain got an order from Washington to withdraw his forces and not to fire one single shot. And that is actually what happened in that operation.
Terrible, terrible. So Johnson lied about a couple of wars. Interesting.
Yes, we unfortunately failed to do what government is, the paramount duty of government is to protect its citizens.
Well, but then you said that the Committee of 300 basically runs the U.S. government and the bankers run the president. So basically, when you have that happening, the Constitution isn't really very effective.
Oh, it's not. It's not counted at all. It's a thing. It's a complete nullity. It's not taught in schools. It's not taught in universities, and it's certainly not taught in any of the major colleges. I know when in 1973 I wanted to really get to know the U.S. Constitution, I went to see the greatest constitutionalist of the 20th century, the late Senator Sam Ervin, and I went and said, I said to him, I have a question for you, if you'd help me, sir. And he said, I certainly will try. And I said, what college should I go to get the best education in the Constitution? And he said, none. There are none. They don't teach it here. He said, American people have been deliberately dumbed down. But he said, if you want to really know the Constitution, as much as it's possible for any man to know it in his lifetime, then he said, I'll get you started on the Annals of Congress, Congressional Records, and Congressional Globes, and I'll start you with a stack here, and then you can go and get the rest from the Library of Congress. And I did that. I obtained 37,000 pages, and it took me many, many, many years, over 30 years, to read through the two-sided pages, stacked with fine print, and I had my own color code of red, white, and blue, and yellow, signifying different events. And that's how I was able to put together the book, United States Constitution.
All righty. Dr. Coleman, we do need to go to a three-minute break. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Inflammation can cause pain and makes getting around a lot harder. Through injuries or just old age, it's important to use anti-inflammatories, but the natural way. You need relief. You need GDU. Daniel Chapter 1's GDU is an all-natural anti-inflammatory, a proteolytic enzyme that has helped thousands of people stop taking COX-2 inhibitors. They're deadly, can cause liver failure and kidney failure. Just to name a couple side effects. GDU has been for years one of Daniel Chapter 1's customers' star products. Try all-natural GDU and feel the difference. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. Get GDU, the natural anti-inflammatory. Use promo code 300A for a discount. That's promo code 300A. Call 800-504-5511 and get your GDU today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. Our guest this hour has been Dr. John Coleman. His website is coleman300.com. Now, when you were working in the British Museum, did you happen to see a copy of the document, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion? Dr. Coleman?
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I lost you for a moment.
Yes, you did.
Yes. When you were working in the British Museum, did you happen to see a copy of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion?
No, it was. There was one there, I think, up to 1915, and then after that it was removed. It was no longer available, I was told.
Huh. Do you see the protocols playing a part in the recent history of the world?
I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty in hearing you this last segment, it seems.
Okay. Do you see this document playing any part in the recent history of the world?
It's very difficult to assess whether that is the case or not. I mean, I'm not a world expert in the type of religious items that do affect the world. I don't have a degree in theology or anything else like that, but I really, it's something that's not in my province, actually.
Oh, okay. All righty. Now, you were talking about the Constitution and that you had a color code and that you really studied this document and you went through thousands of pages. And what did that...
If you've ever seen these congressional documents, they very small print with on both sides of the paper and very... I don't know if it was by design. I think it is by design. You can't just turn to the page and expect the heading to deal with something like you go to a chapter of a book and says it deals with that, that, and that. These are confusingly put under different headings, and you have to read and study each and every page to find what you're looking for. In order to do that, I evolved a color-coding system of my own, and I marked them to show various aspects of the Constitution and what they were, how they were put into the document, which in my view is the greatest document in the world after the Bible. And I coded them blue, red, yellow, and green. And if you look at my documents, I've got a huge pile of them, probably the biggest collection in private hands in America. You'll find they all color-coded in this aspect that I've worked out myself. And they relate to various things in the Constitution to put them in proper order. And I think that is the only reason why I could write a book, a meaningful book about the U.S. Constitution. And it's certainly not a book about the chapters and clauses of the Constitution. It is a book about how we got to that document.
All righty. Well, it's certainly been interesting having you on the program, Dr. Coleman. And remember, Dr. Coleman's website is coleman300.com. And please go and visit. Thank you so much, Dr. Coleman, for being on the program.
Thank you, Deanna. Thanks very much.
All righty. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.